to honorable members to welcome the collective of the department also joined by the GM. GM, the team, you are welcome. DG, you are welcome, and your team, the River Christ. I'm calling him the dean because I'm sure you saw him presiding over a ceremony of people who are graduating.
Yeah.
To become better contributors to the economy of South Africa, in Mpumalanga. So we say congratulations to the Kamalewoki. Members of the committee, you are welcome. Those who want to keep some tea quietly, you can do that. You get a corner there, plus the nice cheese that goes with the tea. On our side, the Honorable Minister, I'm sure we are getting used to one another now. The chair presiding over this meeting with power vested in him by Parliament through the Speaker of the House is the S.O.R. Mahumapi. Yes, and next to him is the Honorable Comrade Sheila Shelly. I always mix them. Shelly Makubela, Michelle. And then Honorable Peter here, Honorable Chair, that's Shelly, that one. Oshila, that one. And Honorable Kumba Kumba from Johannesburg. Yes. Honorable Khalifa from the Free State there. All of them are from the organization that was formed in 1912. When it was formed, it was called SANNC, South African Native National Congress. It's now called ANC here in Parliament. And next to him is Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Gumbi, Honorable Minister, he did the marvelous job in Japan on behalf of the country during the Rugby World Cup. We called him our hooker. He played rugby. He represented very well the team of Parliament in Japan. And when he came back, one of the things which was very interesting for me was this technology by the Japanese for introducing and piloting new trains that are using magnetic technology to propel them, no longer using electricity and all these other things. So that's the experience he had, which he brought here. So he was saying he could speak to the president about the speed train that must be introduced in the country, in Japan. And next to him is Honorable Muteka. Honorable Gumbi is from the Democratic Alliance. It's a very firm organization. Don't worry about that. It's a very firm organization. Honorable Muteka is from the EFF. He's from the FOFO. Honorable Gumbi is from KZN. And then we have Honorable Khalo. If it doesn't matter. Yeah, Khalo. Khalo. Well, no, I'm laughing. One last away. Honorable Khalo, who made Matatiele internationally to be known and very popular. Yes, why would you can
never.
I do. So Honorable Galo represents the AIC from the AIC. We are a collective minister that works together very well. We work very, very well. And the administration from the people's Portfolio Committee, I think you are familiar with them. So I'll give over to you, Honorable Comrade Minister, and your deputy, to introduce your collective. After that, we will go into the content of our meeting for today.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of Mabiru and members of the committee for this NDC introduction. I'm not sure, I can't follow your chairperson. I'm going to allow the teaching to be themselves, so I know all of them. But you see, from one to two, I'm not, but I can't see things next to me. But we got a team from the department to charge the chief responsible for all the programs and also any responsibility of making sure that we put together the program, the account issue. As said, my name is still the same, not changed. Mamuru Koki Bainu Bani. Yes, well known as Ted Bani.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, colleagues. My name is Hushin Shari. Good afternoon, honorable chairs and honorable members, Mr. and colleagues. My name is Mr. Paragi, I'm the teacher for.
I'm just going to ask the earphone DJ and DJ to introduce the other directors here supporting us.
Afternoon, Chair President and members.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. My name is Rulama Duma, and I'm the DDG responsible for corporate management.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. My name is Anthony Milan. I'm responsible for Program 2, Tourism Research Policy and Internationalization.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and honorable members. My name is Shimala Chetiar. I am the DCG responsible for Destination Development.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. My name is Mohan Alamkezi. I'm the DPG for the Government Sector of Tourism.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Honorable members, my name is Mohan Alamkezi. I'm the Founder of Government Information.
We'll take it from the Chair, but one of the things I said to the team, and hope you agree, in the light of cost contamination, going forward, we're not going to see the education, but then we're also going to accept and you accept. First of all, you start seeing that the delegation from the minister becomes more than a community.
Okay, no problem. Thank you very much, the team from the department for the introduction, for those formalities. Our agenda is a very simple one. After the apologies, we will deal with the briefing by the department on 18-19 annual report, and then have a discussion, deliberations, way forward, and then closure. All things being equal, we should be done by 4 o'clock. I think the agenda is as fast as 4. But all things being equal, we should be done by 4 o'clock so that we can release each other. But we will not cut the corner. So we'll try to attend to issues as qualitatively as we can. Just in welcoming the department, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister Mashalela, you know, as political heads, I know sometimes you find yourself in very awkward situations where, in as far as the management of the finances of the department and accountability is concerned, it is yourselves who must account. When actually you don't deal with supply chain issues. when the journalist or owner of a case, they will say, the buck stops with you, the minister, the buck stops with you. When actually the law doesn't allow us to, as political heads, to encroach into issues of supply chain. That is why matters of accountability are very important by the bureaucrats to those who are deployed to politically manage the affairs of the department. So there must be synchrony between what the administration does and what the political wing of the department does. The AG's office, well, we are welcome. It's because we are with you in the morning, so we nearly forgot to welcome you once more. You are welcome to this important meeting. So, Minister, we are going to be giving over to you, and we are very cognizant of the fact that this is actually some kind of a transition. Both of you are in the department, so in the course of you providing leadership there, you are also familiarizing yourselves with many, many other things. We are aware that you hit the ground running from the interviews that we have been watching and how you, both of you, have been dealing with those issues and how the public has been responding. It's like you have been in the department for some time. So we are happy for that because it's a positivity that we must embrace and that we must support. That so far, South African society has realized that indeed you have a team capable to the challenge that is in tourism. And we are very happy also that even at a public level, you have not shied away from talking about your challenges. You have not hidden the challenges that you have come across. I've seen you on TV clarifying some of the issues that other people may want to run away from. So we are very happy about that and want to commend you for being transparent when you address these issues at the public level. And thanks again for coming to the committee for necessary accountability. We'll hand over to you. When all is said and done, the committee will raise issues, comments, questions at the end. In the course of engagement, we'll make some recommendations, which ultimately will become some kind of resolutions between ourselves and the department. We are one thing. It's just that we are on the oversight side, you are on the executive side, but we are one team that is on the field. So you are on the left wing, we are on the opposite wing. I don't want to say right wing. We are on the left wing, we are on another wing of oversight. Honorable the minister and the deputy. So over to you and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity first to appreciate the Chair's continuous oversight and guidance from the committee since the establishment of the fifth administration, including appreciating your attendance and support during the World Tourism Day. We should never take it for granted that the first report. Chairperson, today I'm going to focus on the department and do indicate that I will be here tomorrow as well for when SAT appears. So if colleagues, honorable members, I don't speak at all on SAT matters because I will be here tomorrow appearing with SAT on annual performance. Chair, up front, I must indicate that one is comfortable because we do have many women in the department willing to roll their sleeves and working. We don't have any vacancies. We do have the DG, we do have DDGs that we have introduced at senior level because that comes up to me for the CFO. And I must say that we've been working very well and we know that all of us, including with the support of the Deputy Minister, to be able to fulfill our responsibilities. So part of the issue that you see, Chair, and the articulation of the minister, the team that is behind the minister, including from the feedback. So it is appreciated working as a collective. Another issue I need to reflect up front, Chair, I know there are negativities, but let me start with a positive one. But as the department, we have achieved about 80% performance against our target. We'll continue to do our best to go up, but we believe at least 80% is an A in terms of those of us who are still studying and many are still studying, Chair. Just to remind you that.
Something similar in
another meeting. Oh, okay. Yeah. So the second, the other issue I want to raise, and as we indicated, the presence of the HMS, appreciate the interaction we had with them. I've met them twice, Chairperson and members of the committee, to receive the report and to receive indication of where their issues. And our approach as a department is to be able to receive the report from where they are raising issues, find mechanisms to improve on that report, and also where there are consequences and management that we need to do. So I need to upfront, it has not been an easy process. Their operation was actually making a comment the other day. I was with the DG and I could hear you have been talking to the auditors over the phone and they were requesting information, but their patience with us, we do appreciate it. And as we provided information where we faltered, we were very patient with us in the process, and one has appreciated. Chair, we have received with regret at the department and received a qualified opinion, actually for the first time. So myself and DM are also offering counseling for the DG because it's the first time. So you have not received it. While we are affected, so as colleagues move with and speak with other colleagues, we write about their achievements. And not that it is doing. We've looked at the matters, but let's go to the qualification of the opinion. And Chair, I'm not going to take the honorable number. Our main challenge is around the EPWP capital project. But upfront we must take as a responsibility. And Chair, though we are going to present today, would request more time to really deal with in detail with the issues around EPWP, where we can be able to say to you, yes, there are areas where it's very clear what has happened and we are taking corrective measures immediately. But there are areas where we still have to go in detail and almost do verification, finalize detail, even how we are responding. And would request that if the committee agrees, we come back later in detail just on the PWP where we are clear. I've requested the same from the Auditor General team to say once we put in systems place, would appreciate if they can also look at intel from audit whether we are on the right track. So that's the issue. And mainly around, I think DG will speak in detail around the issues of the PWP, what has happened, what went wrong. But it seems that we want, because this project we want to see, because this project is one of the priority projects in terms of government, but it assists us to respond to major issues around job creation, skilling, and opportunities for our communities. And so that is very critical. We're not to that. The second issue, and that qualification led to declaration of fruitless and also expenditure. But also we have a regular expenditure around the implementation of implementing agents and also around third parties. So DG will go into that. So we are looking at that. And maybe just to highlight, in terms of the EPWP capital project, they date as far back as almost like 20 years. So they are a bit far. But where there's been clear indication, for example, the accounting officer has opened cases, the DG. There are cases that have been opened against this provider. But what we are doing immediately, because we received our audit last week, Monday, and then I met with the auditor general team, I think Wednesday, I suppose that might be correct. And then by Friday, with the DG, because we've been working together, by Friday, we had already stage, by Friday we had stage two officials, as to speak to the three officials, one chief director and two directors that are placed on suspension immediately, and we are instituting an investigation, and this is specifically on the issues relating to the EPDP project. And we are saying upfront, I want to create an environment where it's known that there will be no tolerance for non-accountability to be transparent in how we do things. And we are not saying they are already guilty, we are doing an investigation, but there are things that concern them, and that's what has led to them being identified because they are involved in the project. So that's how far we've been. And the team will explain quite a number of things, but I think, Chair, this, as we do the report, as we are saying, we are learning, we've been in the department, but it gives us an opportunity as well from political leadership or executive level, executive authority, to be able to reflect even on the way forward, what we want to see, how to ensure that we put together things that would assist us to be able to do anything. When we came for our performance plan earlier this year, it was obviously within the few weeks within the we expect things, but as we go and each level settlement, we're also starting to feel deeper on the issues. Where the projects are those projects making an impact, and how do we make sure that we do things. So the team, we are also working together to ensure that we can be able to see the impact. But another thing that I must highlight as we appear here is that we've taken a decision to make sure that our work as national department is synchronized with public. So far we've had two meetings, the first one we had, and then we held the second one, and now we are focusing on how to synchronize our work. And as I said, even on the meeting today, when you have a 10 run, as the national department, the province has 10 run, how do you bring together to make an impact? Because our issues are around impact in our community, making sure that we can be able to see the programs work, but also how do we as province support, how as national, support for provinces to be able to see the impact that we want to see. More or less around the issues of ensuring that the cohesion within the portfolio, we don't left this with right. So that is important for us. So that's what I thought upfront, Chair, to highlight relating to the department. But I must say it's work in progress on other issues. At least I can say a solid foundation has been laid. One is not arriving where there's baby. So there is a foundation that has been laid, and we are building blocks on top of the foundation that has been laid for us to be able to. And I must say, Chair, we always should see in my forward, I'm appreciating my predecessors who've been able to do the work as well, that this outcome is and so they have laid that foundation for us to be able to say this is what we can do. There are very good programs in the department that has been running that we need to be able to see the impact. That new impact, and I think one of the things that we are taking as a decision is to communicate more and so on. We can see our DM last week graduating. This is programs that we are making an impact with young people to be able to find their expression and taking them off their streets to be able to help solve the problems in our department and continue to do that in a number of areas. Including around the same EPWP project. They are very critical for us to be able to ensure inclusiveness within our community, people having a meaningful role, communities to have a meaningful role. The only thing is that, Chair, maybe just highlighting on the issue of the EPWP project. That's to request chairperson through the portfolio committee because this is one of the requirements. We have projects that we from our side, I've been very interested in the accounting officer as the DG. To say what more can we do? We've done everything. We see, we've quantified, we look at the project, money has been wasted, we've quantified the amount, and we've gone to open the case. Now, that then the process is outside our hands. But this remains in our hands. So that becomes a challenge, Chapter 5. So one to be upfront about it, because if they remain now, if year in, year out, they'll come back, they're still reflecting to the government. We've opened cases and we do not have authority, because we need a judgment to be able to then, other than civil claims when we are trying to recover the money. But because the process is not in our hands, we're not able to recover the money, or therefore write it off our account. So that's one of the things we hope that the portfolio committee has will guide us and help us with that one and request some help with that one, because we are committed to ensuring that we recover in terms of our audit opinion, but not only recover but improve. But we want to make sure that at least on things that relate to our books we can have clear that are going to be able to say this is what we are doing, almost like remove the legacy issues so that we can have a clear objective performance of the department in terms of performance report, but also financial performance of the department. So that those are just few issues I thought I should really check that relate to our audit, that relates to our annual report as we are peering before. Thank you very much. Give over to you, Mr. Security. Can we give a presentation?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you, Minister. I think Minister has covered most of the areas. What we will attempt to do with the overview of the first few slides is at least to share what is the department going to do in terms of getting to a better future outcome, if one could put it like that. Starting from page 4 of slide 5, the qualification basis was related to issues of immovable capital assets, and in essence it's a question of what we spent versus what we got on the ground, and what we got on the ground is less than what we expect. That's really the essence of the process and wasteful. So that difference must be declared, it must be declared as wasteful as wasteful, as fruitless and wasteful. To give context to this, essentially the project did not have, and I think in later stage I will allude to that, the project did not have certificates coming from engineers that show that this piece of work done here, the engineers have confirmed that this work is worth what is paid. And on the basis of that, what we then did was to go and get professionals in the form of quantity surveyors to then determine whether this is the amount or it's not the amount. And the figures that we have actually put in terms of declaring the fruitless and wasteful emanate from that particular process. Now, legally I'm required to investigate unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful, as well as irregular expenditure, and subsequently take corrective action with regard to that. So what we are going to be doing, Honorable Chairperson, from here, what we have already done, I've gotten authorization from the Minister to undertake a proper investigation, which will then be able to say, this amount, you can appropriate it to the activities of this particular firm or of this particular individual. This, you can appropriate to that system issue and so on. Out of that, then we would be in a position to know how much money needs to be recovered and from who. How much money needs to be written off if it is not recoverable, and follow that particular process with the National Treasury. So that process would immediately follow after the conclusion of the investigation. We intend to undertake that investigation strictly, so that we do not find ourselves in a space where we are trapped in an investigation while there are other things that we are also supposed to do in terms of nature of the problem. But we can highlight that some of the project management practices, some of the manner in which the project originally were conceived, those were serious problems. Some of the practices of some of the implementing agents of this project, there were also serious problems. At some stage, Minister, Honorable Chairperson, Minister would then be bringing a comprehensive detail behind some of these things and some history to the project and so on, as we then get to the point where we're able to say this is what we are going to be concluding. In terms of the objectives, the predetermined objectives with regard to the overall report, we had to make some changes. There was nothing material, but we had to make some changes in terms of what we had done and the evidence that had to support that. There were two instances in particular. In one instance, what we did was only concluded, I think, the 1st of April. And it is just outside the final check, so it doesn't count. And it found itself in the books. And in another instance, we had part of what was done was not necessarily done. We did not have to spend money on it, and we worked with other partners and so on. So as a result, that was not counted, but it actually counted. So we had to include it, and the performance was actually more than what was targeted for. Now, whether it's misstatement higher or misstatement lower, it remains misstatement. And this is an area overall that Honorable Chairperson, we are concerned about it. We are putting systems in place to deal with it. There are issues relating to interpretation of the guidelines or interpretation of the modified cash and so on. So what we are saying is, so now before we even get closer to the time of the audit itself, the preventative approach is going to help. So we need to have a sense of agreement on what the interpretation will be right by the time we get to the overall auditing concluded. If we have that kind of agreement, it is going to assist us to be able to reduce the misstatements, let me put it like that, because it means what will get into the financial statements, what will get into the predetermined objectives, all of these things would have actually been dealt with way before. The other aspect that we are going to be dealing with is to make sure that through internal audit, the Office of the CFO, and at times the AG, and I do know that, I mean, they do have confines with him, which they should work. We will have to try and continuously test the system, whether it is able to prevent some of these things that have occurred. So some of the things that have occurred, misstatements, I think it's the second year that we've had this kind of problem, and I think we need to go a little bit deeper in terms of how then we make sure that we detect things much earlier, but we are also able to respond much earlier, so that by the time we get audited, everything is ready for the audit as well. And in that particular process, one of the things is that we have a lot of meetings with the AG team and obviously the internal audit team as well. But in that process, we try to, so they would raise something. We go back, we look at it, but we have to come back also and say, this is what it is. In some instances, they may raise something during the year, if there is such, and we look at it and we realize, okay, maybe due to the information they had, but this is what it is. then we clarify those things in the middle of the year. And I think that is something that we would have to do more, not just at the highest level, but across the organization. Last year, when we were doing planning sessions and so on, we brought them in to speak to the entire management, all the directors, chief directors, VPs, and so on, in terms of what are the most prevailing types of risks that have got to be looked at into detail and so on. And I think what we should then do is internally we need to look at those, but we should then be able to say what would get us out of that kind of difficulty going forward. On slide 6, I've spoken about the issue of reinstatement. There are issues related to procurement and contract management that have caused us irregular expenditure. This irregular expenditure, the chair of the honorable member, relates to, we would go through a tender process, and the tender process would be a normal proper tender process. When we finish that particular process, we appoint an implementing agent for the project. After we have appointed an implementing agent for the project, the implementing agent needs to then execute, and in that process, they must then subcontract the work. So when they get to that subcontracting stage, the expectation is that the agent must do as the principal would have done. So we find ourselves in a situation where the implementing agent has not observed all the rules that are supposed to be observed in terms of procurement, even in instances where such may be in the contract. But the two weaknesses here, one weakness would be the enforcement of the contract, and I think that's an area that we've got to strengthen. And then the other would then relate to some extent the competencies of those individuals that are actually executing the contract on our behalf when it comes to these issues pertaining to procurement. So a person may be a built environment professional, but in terms of the actual sourcing and supply chain related may not necessarily have that capacity. So we have actually put together very detailed delegations that would go to these different implementing agents so that they are actually going to be carrying out the specific. We will go through some form of a training with them. For the ones that we will appoint in the future, when we call them for compulsory briefing sessions with regards to the tenders and so on, we will then make sure that this is part of that particular discussion in a lot more detail so that we do not find ourselves with people that say, no, we did not know this or we did not know that. So that is, but it would also require that on a continual basis, the CFO will be monitoring whether this, in inverted commas, extension of his office into the implementing agent's domain is actually executing according to the way that he would have actually executed internally. Consequence management when it comes to contracts, that is one of the things that we are actually going to be making more emphasis on. In most of the instances of this particular project, we see that if there has been strong monitoring and there has been proper consequence management for the people that have been contracted, we probably would have been speaking about less amounts than what we are talking about with regards to the extent of irregular. So the second issue with regards to this proponent related pertains to us not having specified localization, local content requirements in the specification. And that is a requirement we are supposed to do that. It may be, as AG may say, it may be that in all these cases, the ultimate people that actually did the work had all the requirements that should have been specified. But that's not by design, and that remains a risk and hence they have actually highlighted it in this particular context. Then we have the issue of what are we going to do with this irregular expenditure. So what we are going to be doing, the reasons we now know of the irregular expenditure pertaining to the issues that I have just mentioned, they are not in a category that one would call material irregularity in terms of the new public audit act. So as such, this 26, it would be a bit easier for us to remove that from the books. We'll be able to motivate treasury and so on. No money was lost as a result of this. The goods were received, but we can improve the manner in which we comply with the laws with regards to this particular area of work. Obviously, as Minister said, we would require some time to deal with the issues pertaining to the way food and the project rules for the state. We've highlighted some of the internal controls. Part of the real challenge is the design of the system itself, which has led to some of these issues. So if one looks at the absence of those engineering records, it says something about the system itself. And it raises questions about what then needs to be done and so on. What we will be doing with regard to that is to implement the infrastructure development standards of the third party. So going forward, everybody is supposed to be doing that. But what it does is that instead of relying on Victor to go on site and come back with a naked eye observation and say all is well, it requires that a real professional should be going on site. I can say that with regard to that, to date we have already gone through a process and evaluation of that standard for people that would be able to assist us with that in a form of a panel, so that we don't have one person who then is linked to all the projects, because that also presents other risks. That process is already underway. We are hoping to conclude it soon, and it will then assist us in that. Instead of relying on the implementer coming with their own engineer and telling us that all is well, there will be an independent eye with technical competency that will then say, yes, indeed it is, or it is not, and money will not then flow if that is not necessarily the case. So those are some of the things that we are then going to look at in a lot more detail. I will not go into details of the recommendations that were made by Chief Edinson. I think when we come back, we will then go through those details to say, this is what we're going to be doing with this, this is what we're going to be doing with that, this is where the write-off is going to be, this is what we are completing, this is what we are handing over. Indeed, there was also instances where projects were deemed to be complete, but AGP to PISA. As an accounting officer, I agree with the AG on what they presented to me. I'm going to be evaluating those further together with this process of investigation, so that we are able to then get to a sense of quantification. And I would like to do something that is not commonly done, and that is to thank the AG. I want to thank the AG because, Honorable Chairperson, they have assisted in being able to get to a point where this conversation we're having is possible. And it is only when we have gotten to that stage that we can only work backwards to get to a better stage. So it's almost like it's a wound and we kept bandaging this wound. And we bandaged it because we did not know whether this is a normal wound, whether this is something that could be a manifestation of something much bigger and so on. Now we know precisely the diagnosis, but it doesn't mean the treatment is yet known. So we need to go deeper and then be able to get to a point where we can say this is the actual treatment. And we will, through the minister, keep the committee process in that regard. I will give to the CFO then to actually take us to the financial. Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. Just to say, but we did present our fourth quarter report not long ago to the committee, and to say that our expenditure did not change, because it doesn't mean that all the outcomes now are out, but there's a change on the expenditure itself. What did change, although, is the economic classification, but I will come to that. You can still see that our inflation, that our spending was 97.9%, our tourism research policy and international relations by 9.7%, the international relations by 10.9%, and tourism sector support by 6.1%. The total department spent by 8.8% of budget. If you look at the pie chart, it just shows where the most of the expenditure is. Obviously, it's in the tourism and research policy and international relations, 57%. As you know, that 53% of our budget goes to our public entity is tourism, which falls under the best program. And that's why the percentage is so high. If you look at the next slide, this is our economic classification. There were some changes in the classification here because of the findings of the Auditor General, with some stipends, money on the EPWP project, were classified as advances and taxes by the department, and they had to be moved to capital assets because it was into the infrastructure project. But you can still see that the compensation of employees, the variance that we have is 6.9 million, which is 18.3 million, that's a big amount, and the total variance was 27 million. That is to show that the majority of our payments is the transfers and subsidies, 64% of our budget. But it says also the breakdown of a variance, which I already addressed in the previous slide. Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to present on program one. I'll go through it quickly and then just spend a little bit more time on the areas where we're not able to achieve fully on our target. Starting with slide 20, let me just say that for program one, we had 82.35% achievement, and we did not achieve 3 out of our 17 targets. And I'll speak to them. On slide 20, regarding the number of strategic documents developed, our actual performance indicates that all the documents that were required to present were presented, were developed, and submitted as required. On slide 21, which is one of the targets that we fell short on, dealing with our vacancy rate, our target is set at 8%. at the end of the financial year, we stood at 9.1%. And it all had to do with our inability to grow post due to the ceiling imposed on us by National Treasury. We could not make commitments for the long term because we just didn't have the budget for it. And it just points out that in this new financial year, we've raised our target to 10%, and we think we'll be able to manage it. Slide 22 speaks to representation of targeted groups, such as women, people with disabilities, and black representation, and we're able to meet and surpass our targets there. Slide 23 is the second target we're unable to meet regarding the implementation of our workplace skills plan. We achieved 75% on this one regarding the development and implementation of our workplace skills plan. And again, our budgetary constraints had a lot to do with it. Number one, we could not do new internship intake because that budget is linked to our compensation of employees budget. And then while we're able to continue with existing bursaries, we could not do new intakes again there. However, I'm happy to report that in this financial year, we've identified the resources and we'll be able to do the intakes. We're currently reviewing on our new bursaries. Slide 24, the first one is compliance regarding our management of our labor relations matters, and we have 100% compliance there, including on the next one, KPI 6, regarding the implementation of our information communication technology strategic plan. We were able to develop it and implement it as indicated. Number of quarterly and annual financial statements. We met the target again with the submission of our three quarterly interim financial statements and the annual financial statement that was submitted to National Treasury and the Auditor General. KPI 8, implementation of our annual internal audit plan. We achieved the target fully. And then on KPI 9, page slide 25, dealing with our communication strategy, we had 98% achievement, and the part that we're not able to achieve on was in implementing our final Indiesel, which was disrupted by public unrest, and we received the advice from staff in the Tarawa Fuel area not to proceed, but we already made arrangements to hold that in diesel. We still, though, were able to continue with our outreach to communities despite us not being able to proceed with Tarawa Fuel, but we still intend to look into it in this financial year. And then the last target that deals with the procurement of our CCCE policy. We had full achievement there with regards to procuring from enterprises that are in the range, the contributor status level of 1 to 5. And that's the end of my presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair Honourable Members. I'm going to present Program 2, Tourism Research Policy and International Relations, from slide 26. Just to, in summary, highlight that the program has 21 targets to achieve, and only one wasn't fully achieved, but significant progress was made. And as indicated by CFO, the program spends 99.7% of its budget. On slide 27, the first KPI talks to the tourism facilitation initiatives conducted. That's the work that we do on a continuous basis to inform our stakeholder engagement for the year under review. We did work on airlift and visa requirements, and that was done as planned. We also hosted two information dissemination platforms as planned, tourism public lecture as well as our research seminar. Then on page or slide 28, we plan to do 22 monitoring and evaluation reports, and we managed to compile all 22 of them. It started with our annual National Tourism Sector Strategy Implementation Report that we do, the drafting of the State of Tourism Report, our quarterly information fact sheets that we publish, and our monthly analysis on tourist arrivals, and so forth. It continues on slide 29. And it also includes, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, our annual report on the implementation of signed agreements that we develop just to ensure that the bilateral agreements are indeed implemented. And then on slide 32, the KPI spoke about our initiatives in terms of multilateral fora. I think I've skipped the slide, sorry. Slide 30, it speaks about the number of information systems developed. We plan to develop 3 systems, and we finalized all 3 of them. It speaks to the supply side database of our National Tourism Information Monitoring System, the development of the Black-owned products and services database, and the biometric time and attendance system that will assist us in our EPWP projects moving forward. Then on slide 35, that speaks to the number of initiatives facilitated in multilateral fora and bilateral cooperation and regional integration. We plan to have 5 initiatives, Honourable Chair. We managed to do all 5 of them. It related to the hosting of the Indian Ocean Rim Association, first the workshop on the margins of Indaba 2018, as well as the experts meeting, and then we had the IORA Tourism Ministers meeting in October 2018. We also hosted our annual sharing of best practices workshop and Indaba ministerial session as part of our Indaba program. And then the last KPI speaks to the number of capacity building programs implemented. Honourable Chair, this is the KPI that I indicated in the beginning that significant work was done, but we haven't fully achieved what we set out to achieve. And mainly it's about we plan to recruit 600 youth to assist us in this project, and by the end of the financial year we only recruited 549, so we have 51 youth that we couldn't get in the areas that we needed them, and we have improved, but we still have some that we are looking for. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Mendes, that's the presentation of Program 2.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Mendes, I'm going to take you through slides 33 to 40, which is the Destination Development Program. We had, in summary, 13 targets in the agency last year, and 11 of those targets were achieved. That represents an 84% achievement. I'm going to start on slide 34 and speak to issues on slide 34 and 35 at the same time. These represent 11 destination planning initiatives, which range from master planning exercises to actual concept development for different regions. It also includes our pipeline of prioritized tourism investment projects. All of the targets that were set for destination planning initiatives were achieved, and that speaks to the information contained then on slides 34 and 35. If we look at slide 36, that is the first of the targets that was not achieved, and these relate to the destination enhancement projects at Shingoni Gate and Balagoa Wild Activity Hub. We essentially were not able to make the appointments of the civil engineers for Shangoni Gate, and we had earlier challenges around a EIA process that required very extensive public consultation. It had a knock-on effect then in terms of the project plan and being able to meet that deliverable. For Parabor, we similarly had some challenges at the level of being able to finalize the environmental impact authorization, and we essentially have been following up with that. What I can say is that subsequent to this process, we have in fact finalized the appointment for Shangoni Gate, and with Parabor, we're still in the process of finalizing the actual basic assessment report for the EIA process. Slide 38 then begins with our initiatives around destination enhancement. This speaks to the work around universal accessibility, and all of those targets were achieved. Slide 39 continues with the work on destination enhancement, and the targets related to the Dinosaur Interpretation Center in Clarence and the Free State, and the Mega Trail and Interpretation Center at Babianskloof in the Eastern Cape were achieved. Similarly, the work that we had on interpretive signage at six national iconic sites were also achieved. If we go then to slide 40, the first one speaks to the Indian Atlantic route, and that was also achieved. Slide 40 then also speaks to our full-time equivalent, and we were also very disappointed not to be able to achieve this target. It was largely related to delays in the procurement process, as we explained when we did the fourth quarter report, for the data monitors, where we have to re-advertise that tender three times. And that had a knock-on effect then in terms of the numbers that we had anticipated to be in place, which weren't in place. And the second one then was the food safety program, where we were unable to make an appointment for 1,500 youth. And DVT Ramtele will speak, I think, to those issues. In our first quarter report, you will see that we have managed to, in fact, make those appointments and deal with those procurement challenges. And the first quarter report, therefore, illustrates that we are, in fact, achieving and, in fact, exceeding the targets for full-time equivalent. But it's the knock-on effect of delays in our procurement that has resulted in the target not being achieved. Do you see my favorite?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm going to present from slide 42 to 58. All in all, we had 29 targets, 22 were achieved. 4 significant work was done, 3 were not achieved. The first indicator was on the BBBE, where we expected to come up with 3 initiatives. The first one being a monitoring report on the implementation of the amended tourism BBBE Infrastructure Code. On an annual basis, the Tata Council is expected to come up with a transformation on the status of transformation in the sector. That was done. The second one was on provision of secretariat services to the Tata Council. Normally they meet 4 times a year. We're able to provide the services 6 times within that year. And the following one was on many tourism employment initiatives. All in all, we're able to support them in terms of what were their roles and responsibilities in terms of the chapters that they are coming up with in provinces, but at the same time empowering them in terms of the power of being able to network. All in all, 6 initiatives were done. The following one is on the domestic tourism, where we expected to come up with a framework for supporting tour operators as well as a social and a tourism scheme to help with travel within the previously disadvantaged. We're able to come up with both of them. but at the same time we expected to also, on a social tourism perspective, support designated groups to be able to travel. We're able to do with the young people, the elderly, as well as people with disabilities. On enterprise development, we had a target of 400 where we expected to support them non-financially. We were able to give that support to 663 SMEs, basically because of being able to give more reach in terms of creating that awareness, and then we're able to have this being overachieved. But at the same time, the very same 400, we expected to support them financially. We had a partnership with CEDA through their M-Protect program, where they were expected to provide us with tutors for this financial literacy. Unfortunately, during the year, they had to reprioritize their funding to more pressing needs within their space. Then what's following are the, we expected to come up with three, to support three existing incubators, but we're able to support four. And at the same time, expected to come with, up with two new incubators in terms of establishment. We're able to establish one through the fund where we're going to, where we're partnered with FunPack in terms of SMME development of communities around the five parks. And at the same time, we were expected to also establish the barista training. This was not fully achieved, but we are on course in terms of ensuring that this year we achieve it. On the tourism incentive program, we are supporting four. We supported four: the market access, the tourism branding support, the energy efficiency, as well as the sector transformation fund. On the market access, we're able to support 266 establishments. On the grading, we're able to support 1,997. On energy efficiency, we're able to support 20. And on the TTF, we're able to support 12 applications. In terms of the community, where we are saying we need to assist communities to come up with enterprises within the tourism value chain. First of all, we started with feasibility studies of the five, and out of those feasibility studies, the outcomes, most of the issues are not within the mandate of tourism. But we said we need to engage the relevant sector departments so that we can see how can we move on this one. As a corrective measure, we have drafted plans in order to start giving support to the five identified communities. On digital services, we are expected to come up with 6 initiatives in improving digital services. The first one was on the service excellence. We identified information centers, that is for Kula, the Port St. John's, as well as Bilans Bay. But during the year, we had to replace Kula because there were renovations that were being done by the province at Kula. But at Port St. John's, unfortunately, the information center went down. Hence, we had to request a deviation in that regard, and that was given. And we were able to replace them with Kimberley, as well as the Western Development Agency. The other one is on journey to service excellence program in two municipalities as part of the small town revitalization. We're able to do that at Jozini as well as the Port St. John's. We are also expected to deal with complaints coming from tourists. We're able to deal with the complaints. As the target is 100%, we're able to deal with all of them. And in total, we have 65. We are also expected to come up with a scheme, an accreditation scheme, as proposed in the Act, we're able to come up with a framework regarding that. Going further, in terms of those six initiatives, we expected to mutually join awareness campaign in line with raising awareness on complaints, raising awareness on service excellence, raising awareness in terms of illegal tourist guiding. We were able to come up with forms for all the areas that are indicated. The fourth one came because there was a protection week, consumer protection week, and we felt that we need to utilize the opportunity given. On safety monitors, tourism monitors, the target was 1,450. We have three provinces which served as pilots, that is Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Eastern. And during this pilot phase, we realized that we had to relook in terms of the attractions that are being chosen for these tourism monitors to be there, the management thereof. Hence, when we moved to the remainder of the provinces, we had to at first agree with provinces in terms of where are we going to place this monitor. Are these attractions really warranting to put tourism monitors at them? So the variation in terms of the numbers, either the numbers will go up, like for KZN, the target was 250, but when we speak now, it's 370 based on the need within that province. For Limpopo, it was 250, but we had to scale it down to 176. In addition, we also gave Sunpark a number 302 for tourism monitors, and as well as Sunbeach, which is 100. And in total, the number as we speak now is 1,871, meaning in the current, we have exceeded what we said we do, but in the previous financial year, we didn't achieve the target. But more significant was done based on what we're seeing coming out of the three provinces in terms of challenges. Hence, last week there was a graduation in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga has managed to have a graduation related to the project. On the capacity building program, all in all, we had 9. The first one being a chef program. The target was 577. We recruited more than the target given, trying to mitigate the dropout that may come. Unfortunately, with this extra recruitment, no one dropped out at the end of March 2019. It's one of the programs that we feel is doing very, very well. On the blue flag, it's a three-year program. We targeted 200. By the end of the second year, there was 167 remaining in the project. And these were due to mainly employment opportunities. On the Somalia, also a three-year program, we recruited 300. This is one of those programs where DG was saying there was a misstatement. We misstated here by one. By March 2019, actually we had 299 instead of the 272. And the following one is the 1,500 food safety program, which we couldn't do. It's one of the risks due to the procurement issues that arose during the year. The following one, which is number 5, is the hospitality program here for food and beer. We had 600 learners enrolled. By March, we had 581. And this program, at this point in time, we have completed it. The following one is on the HYP, Hospitality Youth Program. We targeted 2,375. By March, we had 1,780. A high rate of dropout due to, in the previous quarter, four indicated the issues of pregnancy and indicated the issues of people being able to get better opportunities. Number six is the National Tourism Career Expo, which was held in September from the 19th to the 21st in Northwest. It has been done. This one last year, it was still in the same province. It was the first year actually. The training of Fortune Women in the Executive Development Program, this is facilitated by UNITA, basically dealing with the issues of transformation within the space in terms of women participation. The program had 40. By the time they graduated in April, they were 32 remaining. The other 8 couldn't meet, actually they couldn't meet the requirements of them being graduating. But I can also indicate that out of this program, so far, 10 women have been promoted to management positions, some of them even managing hotels out of the country. In terms of tourist guiding, we were upskilling, but at the same time training new entrants as tourist guides. In Isimangaliso, Wetland Park, we upskilled 10 guides. In Kruger National Park, we upskilled 45. The new entrants were in Eastern Cape, which had 20, and Limpopo, which had 15. Unfortunately, we couldn't do Cape Nature in Western Cape due to the fire that broke. When we wanted to start again, there was another fire that broke up. Number 8 is the Resource Efficiency Training Program, started 3 years ago. We have trained 60 learners last year. 47 of them graduated. This is one of those programs where you have dropouts. It's not because of other negative stuff, but here mainly it was due to better opportunities. Even one of them got a scholarship to study in China. And the last one is on the local government capacity program, building program. We have 4 provincial and local government tourism information sharing sessions that we did. Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Chair. And that was the last of the program slide. If you want, it's the last slide. We have 467 staff complements overall. The 86.3% of that is African. We have got 5.4% in Ghana, 4% in India, 4.5% one. What I perhaps need to highlight is this issue. Right at the end in terms of people with disabilities. We have 21 staff members in the department, from senior management to the lower level. They have different types of disabilities. Others would be paraplegic, others would be quadriplegic, others are blind, others we've got one colleague who's bit of a challenge with hearing, and they work in substantive roles. There are those who are in policy roles, there are some who are in areas of execution and so on. This is one area that I can say in fact contradiction, but as far as national government departments are concerned, We believe that we are the only department that has got that number of people who have got this kind of challenge. Women, at the SRS level, we have this little amount, 50.1%. At the top management level, essentially, it's myself. The 4 able ladies that are in charge of the actual programs and the substance thereof. So we those are some of the things that we in the midst of all of these other things we work with some different.
Anything to amplify
your concern?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. A lot of us are you the first one? Oh. A lot of us are fine. So, what's your question for the relationship? Observation? What's your turn? We have said all things to equal was wanted for. Okay. Okay. All right, let's see. What are the ones you print out?
Thank you, Chair. I'm most concerned about these infrastructure projects. Listening to what was said by the Auditor General and now this presentation, it appears that basic contractual work and preparation thereof was not really done. And now the department is lumped with problems when there have been essentially no proper monitoring mechanisms to ensure these projects will work, that these contracts are watertight, and by their own admission, the presenters are talking about people who are ill-qualified to go and check up on engineering projects. So I don't know how you got to get to a point where you're building infrastructure projects without people in the engineering field and so forth, but people who are ill-qualified to go and check on projects. So it's most concerning, and I'd like to see, it might be just too detailed to answer, I'd like to see what are they going to do going forward that this doesn't happen again. I mean, the answer is to make sure you have the qualified, correct people to do it. So that's my first point, and I'd like to hear more about that. The second is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It seems to have got worse. If you look at the Auditor General's reports and so forth. So, and it appears that there seems to be lack of controls as well. Asset register, for example, and so forth. So I'd like to hear more about that. It just seems to be a lack of control in general. It's very, very worrying that this kind of thing is going on. And then there's one other thing I want to, yeah, I've mentioned fruitless and wasteful. That's the gist of it, because everything points to that kind of thing. Thank you.
Honorable Gallo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. First and foremost, let me appreciate the political role of the minister of the minister. This country doesn't have, especially the effective minister, which was clear and straightforward. But DG, in your presentation, you indicated that you were given a go-ahead by the minister to investigate the issues of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Perhaps if I may check, when was that? Was this before the coming in of the Office of the Auditor General, or it was way before that? I would like to check that. And I'm also interested, Honorable Chair, on the number of operational projects, the total number of implemented projects. The number of people who have been fully employed based on the training programs implemented by the department. Lastly, the number of people who have opened their own business is based on the capacity-building skills training programs implemented by the department. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Gallo. Fiji.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The last one has the institution for the department and also the increase of the growth. Chairperson, we have indeed the board from LG in the morning. And the department also gave us the rest of the nothing was taken out of it. So Chapter in the morning of indicated that we are not then every day, many times 15 minutes are new. I don't know how long the DG has been there, but let me find the department anyway. In the office to check the heat. The report is saying for the previous 5 years, over 5 years, there has been an overall regression. So our problem is not what happened today or now. It's why we have been regressing over the years. That's not about the previous year. Why have we been regressing and what have we done to stop it? Why do we have reoccurrence, repetition of the findings that we had previously? The AG is showing that some of the things are repeating themselves. But from what DG is saying, we're still going to investigate. But this thing is never done. And we are very concerned when we find that there is still an issue of non-compliance with financial standards. That's why it's quite a lot. And non-compliance with that thing opens the room for tax. Again, we are talking about the non-compliance to the set rules of issue gender. But they talk it in the language. They don't say gender. They say allocation to the implementer, something like that. So, in other words, without following anything, the implementer is just going to outcome it. You don't. What does it mean? It means cousins, relatives, friends, and accused can do the work. In other words, the official who is responsible can give himself that job through cousins and relatives, which can lead us to corruption and everything. Nepotism. It is very important to check with it. And the expenditure. Some years ago, the question is spread to spend about 98%. It sounds very good. But we are going to be specific. The square will give them more credit. Because just to say I'll spend 100%, I'll spend 98%, it's not enough. What will be enough is where and all right. So that you can be able to say, in the rural and the township, so much money was spent, and then our route to transformation is getting better because the government is paying for what we wish to achieve. So it will help us better when we get it done. I'm not saying it was wrong to do that, but I'm saying we also want to know where the navigation is going. I'm also interested in the workforce representativity, Jefferson, it's a very good picture. Can you later on get in monetary form, in monetary terms, how many percent we spend on African and as they are, so that we know. Because sometimes we can have out of 100, let's say the workforce total workforce is 100. Out of that 100, 8 of them are African, but they only earn 2% of the whole workforce budget. And then the rest goes to those who look at them as minority. That is the challenge, and I think the answer will be given the Arabic. Jefferson, the next thing is, when the Auditor General office was visiting here, they had mentioned that Mayana Game Lodge in the Northwest was reported completed, but when they get there, it was roofless. It didn't have a roof. That to me is dishonesty, lies, and it qualifies automatic dismissal to the legal process. You can't serve the public at an interview like this one. You lie to your own government. You can't accept. So those are the I like to believe that one of those three officials that they are dealing with must be one of the current officials. If it's not, you must follow up. Who did this thing? And then mislead the department or mislead the auditor general, because now it's auditor general at point. And again, let's go to Humala. Mamadan Biodiversity Corridor. It is reported done, and when they get there, there is nothing. It's not a duty, it's not there. What is it? Who was there? Who did and what is it? What has you done as a department about it? And when are we recovering that money? 24 million is involved. 24 million was spent, but the cash show. Why? So we want it back. It must be recovered. Then it can be used somewhere in the village in Bumalanga, and then the forest of the poor can be saved. Okay. But when we get to the status of the internal control, I'm very much concerned because everything, nothing has been done. That's the report. Nothing has been done. Leadership, nothing. There was no change. It means it came back as it was. Financial, everything is great. No improvement at all. Governance also unchanged. So there's no improvement at all. And
the most concerning part is that top part of the senior management. Because the employees are saying, we have recommended to fix this thing, but the senior management is doing implementation. It's very concerning. Because if you can look, it just doesn't help us. If you can look at that, yes. If you can look at this from the bottom, they were doing well. The concern is on top. So let's get this right at the head. Then the trade will last. Service level agreements when the project are done. It's not followed, it's just disregarded. How do we ensure quality of work? If that is happening. How do we ensure quality of work? And also then for what? Let's work here. Yeah, and another one is this one, scoping of projects. We just had regulatory. No formality, no paperwork, nothing. It's just a matter of most of the time I've been here is that you are home. We can't work like that. So those things, we speak those things so that in future we improve. And the last part is I'll talk about the irregular expenditure. The irregular expenditure as explained is contravention of the law. It's contravention of the legislation. And then you improve that from 4 million to 101 million. What does it mean? So we need to improve people. It's just unfortunate for those who are coming in like that. They are getting beat like that. But if you see this, it's a good beginning. That's what we're there about that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Bumbi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Look, I think the DG created some of the concerns, or serious concerns. With regards to also general development. And I think the president has spoken to some extent around how it's the very basics which are also not done correctly. So they were highlighting regressions and just simple proper report keeping, daily and monthly control, review and monitor compliance. Some of the very, very essence and basics of accounting practices. Now, there was some commitment made by the DG to improve and that the minister should talk to the future. But perhaps maybe check with me the better way, just so that the committee might be able to assure me, is to ask for almost a conclusive report on specifically every one of those which, and I'm sure the DG is still applying. And the ministers to apply themselves to how to deal with these. But if a conclusive report in the very near future, then we can come back to the portfolio committee whether that is within the next month or so, but I think that it's important that we have it, because what we don't want to do with this is to come back here. I mean, we've spoken about how some of the integrations are from years ago, but in order to come back a year later, and then there's outrage again, but then there's no serious improvements on that. And this is perhaps maybe the second time in the committee, we want some kind of report given to the first one that was written to Howard Baldwin in the same manner, taking with that same serious mind within the next month, specifically to address a lot of the concerns that came up today, perhaps maybe with the effort to go forward to give this a bit of positive chance as a committee to work with.
Honorable Kalipa, excellent. Other issues, the last issue of the chair is around the capacity of the human. Because if this department is run by six companies, outsourcing is always a challenge. Those that could not follow the
Financial Management Act that I legislated with regards to procurement systems, because we cannot just neglect and avoid that, because that is why we find that we get some reoccurrences, because nothing is done about it. So those ones who transgress those legislations must face the consequences. Also, I wish we can find that the department will be able next time to find someone who can be able to work as a project manager, but also with qualities or qualifications of quality survey, so that we avoid this overcharging that is happening. Because I believe that coming to a destination development, there are some overcharges and incomplete projects. So that is a very big one if we really don't have to, if we really don't give attention to that. There's also another question here. I've heard something like there was a target of 900, I think that was mentioned by Mitchell, to say there was 900 targets of something, but only 20 was delivered. I'm not sure if I was fast asleep or not, but I heard something like 900, but only 20 was delivered. You heard it, ma'am? We'll fill out an extra minute. Somebody must have heard it also. Somebody must have heard something like that. There was a very, very, I was even scared to say, hey, 900, only 20 delivered. Maybe if I'm mistaken, sorry, can you forgive me on that? You know it? I'm not sure, okay. Maybe I was half asleep. Let me also remove that one and draw that question. Yes. As Chair, those unfinished projects which are fully paid, I want to know if we have to complete them. The department, I think Treasury is the department that is supposed to be taking care of this fund to ensure that we get them back again and paid. Is it allowed to do that, or maybe it's something that we can fundraise somewhere to ensure that those things are completed, those projects are completed? That's the short of my question. Thank you very much.
Welcome the what we were so excited in that today she is going to cut the position all these goals that are going to be able to bring in our discussion. That will save the public pension. Going to what was presented, thank you very much. But I wanted to say, during the first administration, we've been very intense with the department was always obtaining a clean audit. Until the last 2 years of the term, when we're saying, we hear that you exercise good governance, but we don't feel or speak or believe in what you are doing. I wanted to suggest that there be a balance between both governments and service delivery. Because as politicians, what we are interested in is the good governance, job creation also, poverty alleviation also, business opportunities and skills development. there must be balance between the two. That was what I was going to suggest. And also, Chair, there is a term that I once heard in project management where they say, do it right the first time. That's what I was going to say with regard to the old, the project, the EPW project that we are talking about, where we encountered that problem. Always asking a question if it is not possible to have people in the establishment, those that have built in the built environment, that have experience in the built environment, so that you don't outsource everything. Maybe one or two, it depends on your capacity. I want to suggest that change. And also change the issue of asking if there is a risk unit within the department. And the role that is played by internal auditor, internal audit unit with regards to what we were presented by the auditor general, because those are the people that detect areas and advise. That's why I am interested in understanding the role that they play. On the issue of recruitment, Chairperson, I was pleased when I heard something different that they are going to organize a database so that there comes time to help place people or whoever they take out of the database that they have organized. But the other issue is there may be problems because as the national department we work with problems. My question would be, can there be if this is a roadshow where the minister can talk to even to municipalities so that those municipalities can put pressure to those that are in provinces, because the recruitment is done in municipalities. Those people come from what? So if it's the province only, we'll only hear it in this platform that so many young people were needed for that and did not get. So I think a roadshow to create awareness that every department in the APP will place this program, it will need this, something like that, so that people are aware. I think, if we can, if they can try to correct whatever wrongdoing that was there, we can go for
thank you. Thank you, thank you very much. So that means I'm joining my colleagues firstly to appreciate the presentation for the leadership of the minister, but also to appreciate the agency's posture. That was not helping the police, but also to play an advisor in the role as far as making sure that we do all that correct that you present. I think that is very much appreciated. I thought Honorable Kumba I want to talk to the dropout. I think we've made our point on that previously. So moving forward, that is what we have suggested we have to take into account. Just to make sure that those that this were invested in maybe happen to drop out in the process due to pregnancy, at least there must be a plan or program to at least readmit them moving forward. Then the false information on project that is presented to the minister's office. The suggestion I think should from the committee that the minister's office and of course with the chair's office should have a plan or rather develop a plan to God be with it, especially in these thoughts of God seems to be heaven, you guys are true. And my last point, Chair, is the EPWP program. This is a program that is to benefit young people, and we cannot just let it, you know, drop the ball on this one. So it's a program that we must continue to, you know, supporting it, but also make sure that at least it must reflect the spread, you know, on our promises.
Thank you, Professor. Mine is two issues. One is to appreciate that when the department was able to investigate on the issues of the false information, we were able to identify the culprit and then put them on application pending the investigation. And here, this year, and I think it would be that in the future you will have any warning signal that would tell you that things are happening correctly in any project. Because I'm saying this because if it was not for the AG's office that you went physically to visit and be able to see some of the projects, we would be reporting them as complete projects. Yeah. And some of the projects, as they mentioned, are from the previous financial year. When you, the department, have been spending money and not able to detect that there are challenges within the project. And then the second issue is they find out from the CFO to say, based on your presentation here on a higher education institution, I assume these are the services that you give out to students. They did not in this time they have yet to explain to us whether you have abandoned giving mentors to deserving students who are studying, and whether the one is currently in the system, what has happened if you were not able to pay anything in the financial year with regards to the thank you.
All right, thank you very much. From my side, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, just to emphasize what Honorable Michelle was saying here, we must really applaud you for the excellent statement. It's in compliance with consequence management expectations. I think what we'll do from our side as the committee is to, after getting information on where some of the actions required have been sent to in terms of reinforcement and so on, we will try and also interact with those that are responsible to speed up the process. So the law allows us to do that, so we will help in making sure that we need to do that. And secondly, it's on the preventative approach that the CC spoke about, linked to the intensive investigation that is going to be done now. If you can just indicate more or less, I mean, you all know exactly, because you don't have control over the information that you're going to source and people manage it, but more or less the intervals of updating. I don't want us to say by end of November you will have and the following, but it is on a continuous basis to say this is where we are, and so I think that would be useful. The other proposal I want to make is on this infrastructure thing. There's a program in government called NARTEC, and I don't know if those people have been assessed in terms of technical capacity. Just look at it, and if the department responsible
has assessed them and they've got the best out of what they have. Maybe going forward you can consider using those people who are from the national program. We are also suggesting to the Department Minister and the people who spend it that consider introducing integrated project management system. That will do what the Honorable Marshall was saying early on in the system that is linked to your ATP. I think that will be very useful. If we can also, not in this meeting, but if we give the total number of jobs created on an annual basis, because in the ATP I need to school money, poverty, inequality, and unemployment. So if we can quantify the jobs and link to that, be able to say this one's fall in the category of being temporary, this one's fall in the category of permanent. And out of the permanent ones, how many were able to be graduated from being temporary to become permanent? And those who are temporary, if they don't become permanent, what avenues are out there that we may be helping them to explore so that they can find some jobs elsewhere? My other request is that as far as issues of poverty are concerned, it's linked to creation of entrepreneurs. I know it will be difficult to quantify, but if we can find a way of saying, in our view, if we have assisted in creating so many entrepreneurs, our report indicates that our subgroup, this is the impact it has made on poverty and unemployment, if we create those entrepreneurs. But linked to it is the issue of skills, including those that were graduating at the degree. The total number of skills and categories of skills we have created through those initiatives. And I want to suggest Minister that there, this area, what must then happen is that the department must consider packaging this package of goods and develop a communication strategy. Communication strategy around what has been achieved. If it means the communication strategy must include testimonials, let's do the testimony, right? At the same time, acknowledging our weakness, let's do the testimonial. The skills that are acquired, I've spoken about that these young people continue to acquire in the process, I think it will be useful so that all and sundry can see why it's important for us to continue strengthening that EPWP program. Because the problem is not the program. The problem is in some of the people who manage the program and some of the communities that must respond to the request regarding the program. So everything about the program itself as a program, I think it's okay. But we must deal with those risks that are on the management side and are on the supply side from the communities, so that we ready our communities for this particular thing. Around the entrepreneurship, I would also suggest, Minister, that going forward, if we can just do a continuous study on entrepreneurs that are there already, in our intervention, how many of them have been able to grow further than where they were before we intervened? So that the graph can show growth. And in those that are growing, how many have we been able to sustain on a consistent basis so that we can try and quantify going forward? As a committee, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, I only agree that your internal audit committee, what we are going to do as oversight is to interact with them on an ongoing basis, maybe quarterly, so that we don't come at the end when we then get the report from the auditor general. So that we also help you to look at the internal audit committee as to whether it is doing its work to the best of its ability. Then we can give you feedback on how we see this particular matter. The last point is around this important issue of consequence management. It's very important it must be done, and it must be intensified. But at the same time, our employee wellness program must be able to tell us as to whether there are no unintended consequences of anxiety, of fear, of because if you people know that there are going to be these consequences, others may just even fear just to become innovative on how they must do their work and become anxious. As a result of anxiety, then it affects productivity within the department. So we need to, as part of that employee wellness program, get it from them as to whether there might be instances where they think the fear of action being taken against them is if they do certain things does lead to them not being brave enough or innovative into their work. Otherwise, other issues around the regular expenditures have been covered. AG, because you are here, you know, I've been taking the AG for the last 15 years or so, that we must educate society, and that's the AG responsibility, because when it happens, the expenditures that is coming irregular, fruitless, wasteful expense. Education of society, because society thinks that all these three variables in financial management, sexual corruption. So I think that education must not tire to educate our society so that they can make a difference between the two, because through the school system you don't come across this thing. It's only when you are post your grad state where you come across this term. So society is not very familiar with some of this terminology that we use here. That is why when auditing processes were introduced in the country, actually people had a problem in understanding the word unqualified. Because we understand unqualified to say it's not qualified. Right? So it has taken some time until everybody understood, oh, unqualified actually is good. Right? So society begins to understand that. Over to you, Deputy Minister and Minister. Honorable members, we said all things being equal will be done by 4 o'clock, but our ultimate objective is 4:30. So we are now at 2 minutes before 4:15. So we are okay. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to ask GBT Mwenda to answer with one issue on the presidency and the just to be the most to the mother, you can understand it better. Yes, I'll come to them and then I'll come here. And then I'm going to ask the CFO, there are three people spoken finances. Honorable Mudeta, spoken finances. Honorable Mukhaliti. Yeah, if you can show the finances CFO, and then teach it mainly on the project itself, the EPWP, just to help you and manage your time.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Honorable Chair. When we presented the fourth quarter report, the very issues came up and we were given guidance in terms of how to deal with it, in terms of saying to it if we can track these young people so that we are able to support them if they are interested to continue in this program. I've been indicating that most of the dropouts, where I would say negative dropouts, is within the hospitality. Maybe based on the environment where long hours, hard work, it may be a bit of a problem for them to really, let's say if you are pregnant or a young mother, to go back into that space again. It might be a bit of a problem. But on other areas, I think the resource deficiency is more of better opportunities. So living in others is more of better opportunities. So as much as we want to guide and support our young women, somehow maybe before they can even go into the program, to have maybe 4 weeks of alerting them what is entailed within the environment of the particular program, so that they go in with an understanding of how intense is the program, so that early on they can decide not to continue. As I said in the previous meeting, that they take opportunities for others.
The problem was
Most of these people went through a procurement process, but it's their own procurement process. They obtained three quotations, but the only thing that they did not do is they did not apply the 80-20 principle when awarding a quotation to the successful or the lowest bidder.
The chairperson, thank you. The chairperson, as an accounting officer, I take the responsibility for this question. So that I want to put that in there. It does not mean that as Mr. Tarani, I have not been taking responsibility for the activities that an accounting officer must do. And why am I saying that? I'm not trying to exonerate anything, but if you look at the report of the AG, when it refers to CNI management, I'm not part of the management. I'm their company. There's no regression in the work of their company. No. I have met with this colleague. They try me on a regular basis. I got into trouble here when my family was on holiday and I went to pay on the phone with you, because I needed to go through each and every detail. If you were to go into my diary and see how much time it dedicated, not only to the audit, but to the relationship of the department and the auditor general, then you will be able to see. The audit committee can attest to that. The internal auditors can attest to that. Literally going through each and every individual aspect, they raise something and I want to understand exactly what it is. The cases that the minister has spoken about that have been audited, some of the police, qualified police stations now know my name. In making sure that there was consequence management, where we were already able to establish the extent of the law. Now, an accounting officer works through a relationship of trust. The amount of projects that we have across the country, it will not always be possible to physically be at every stage of each. So it may be possible to go to all, but it may not be possible to go at every stage of each project, because you will have to say the foundations are done, they're fine. If somebody says to me that the foundations are fine, and that person gets paid to say the foundations are fine and not fine, I have to take that and I have to work on that basis. The minute I have to second guess the staff, we will end up in what the chairperson was talking about, moral issues and so on. But everybody must do their work. Where I am right now, I want to just go back again to the words that the minister said. What we've done is a precautionary, substantially, which allows us to be able to investigate without interference. The people that have been suspended, the minister said it, we're not saying they're guilty. But we are able to see that wrongdoing is okay. That investigation will uncover and it will tell us who they are. It will tell us what they did. It will tell us how much of the money that falls under either irregular or either fraudulent and wasteful has actually come as a result of the activity. We will then go through a process of recovering money. Now, recovering money may be a civil claim, and where there was criminal activity, it would be a case that we would then open. Where we have already opened the case, it would be to give the investigator from the police side additional information that has come out of that particular investigation to say, now this is the quantity that you have got to go after with regard to this particular individual. So we go through that particular process. And ultimately, once we are done with that particular process, we have to separate the two processes. Communities did not do anything wrong. They did not do anything wrong. They were not implementing their own project. They cannot then become victims of something they do not know. In an instance where a project was completely ill-conceived from the very beginning, clearly that would then have a different conversation with the community. And that's a very rare circumstance. But in the instance where we know that the community is absolutely nothing wrong, we will go back to that community. So these processes are separate. We don't have to go, we don't have to go back to get the money back, let me put it that way. We don't have to get the money back so that we can take that money and put it into another project. That money, when it comes back, it goes to the revenue account. It belongs to government, not the Department of Justice. The money that we will then use as new appropriation when we finish the project, like any other project, but it would have gone through a proper detailed system of planning, and it would have also benefited from the process of making sure that we are dealing with the monitoring and so on. Now, I want to indicate that we fully agree with the idea of insolvency. We support it. We just have a challenge at the moment. You would have seen all of the chapters that we did not meet our target when it comes to vacuum selling. We are aware that there won't be additional money, and I wouldn't want to put it as a treasure problem. There's no more money that we will get within government for new posts. And that is what leads us to looking at, will this particular position be something that we will require on a regular basis? We need the services of a quantity that we are at a certain time. We need the services of an architecture at a certain time. Keeping those people on our books with all the benefits and everything, but I think to some extent, is actually not going to give us the results that we need. So we are looking at all those dynamics, and then we are saying these are the kind of areas where I think we will need to really look at it quite closely, and we have started looking at that, is that at least the person that manages such technical complexity, him or herself must have some level of technical competency beyond my own, so that I can rely on that person to be advised that this is the approach that we should take, and so on. And that talks to the broader suit of this internal controls that we need to put in place. And so I think the CFO would work with the team to make sure that those things are there. So that ultimately, what is deposited in the project environment domain of DDG Chetia, and what is deposited in the project in the financial domain, is two things that speak to each other, and both of them have actually been corroborated in this, so that by the time we then transact with that understanding. Now, the issue pertaining to the investigation, the issue pertaining to the investigation as an accounting officer, I must seek permission from you to undertake an investigation if it is going to go the following definition in terms of the kind of detail that we would like to get. So I don't have authority to acquire the resources of the investigation. Of course, these matters pertain to an audit that we finalized together with the AG. So what it means is that the basis of this investigation comes from the 30th of September. Doesn't mean we haven't done some work before. We've done some work. I think when we come back, we'll outline what it is that we've done. One thing that was more important about the outcome of the ages of this, which by the way I must also indicate, if it had not been for modified cash, we would not have been knowing this. In fact, I would say without a shred of doubt that the likelihood is that the minister would have settled a cleaner with all of this. So that's why I actually said I'm grateful that at this point in time I have a better grasp and understanding of the depth of the issues I'm dealing with and what I need to do to be able to correct them. Otherwise, I would not have had that level of regard. It would have been completely impossible to actually have that level of regard. Now, I know what I'm dealing with, and I know what needs to happen, and there's an indication that we should come back and report. Now, I want to submit to the committee. I'm pleading that we get a little bit of time, given the sensitiveness of the investigation. So, something like 2 to 3 months after that, because this, what I'm worried about will be the minute I submit, well, the minister submits information to this document, that is public information. And that public information would be implicating several people, saying this one, this is what they did, this one, this is what they did, and it might just compromise some of the possible consequence management aspects. What we are prepared to do much sooner is to be able to say, what are we going to do going forward? This is the control and so on, but not the substantive details of what are we getting from the investigation. Who has what responsibility? So that even when these things, because some of them are going to go into the details of court cases, police investigations, secondary investigations that we're going to conduct. And when those things actually are now out there, then there's going to be also some issues that you get and so on. So unless if it is, I don't know if it is done, that is the in-camera type of arrangement where something is not going to be. But the details with regard to the Victor and this is what he has done, I think that is the one that is happening. That part then we deal with it at an appropriate time once all the necessary consequence management actions have been taken. And that if we are providing information without details to say this is the state at which we are. The thing is concluded, it has found that there are some wrong doing, wrongly this is what it is. That is the kind of thing that I think we need to get. We don't have, I let me put it in context. There's zero tolerance in the organization for corruption. Minister first engagement with the staff in the department, that message was very, very, very clear. I would think we did report to this minister last time to the honorable member last year, last financial year.
we picked up, we got a tip off with regards to some activities associated with one of our chief directors. We duly suspended that particular individual. In fact, the investigation came back, and indeed the allegations were corroborated by the investigation, and we charged. And on the day of the hearing, we received the resignation of the individual. So that means we can be able to get an opportunity. So I'm using this to say things. It's absolutely zero tolerance for these kinds of things. Mistakes, I would again put this on the chapter, mistakes when people are working with us. And it is when we are seeing that this is beyond. All of us, we do from time to time make certain mistakes. I'm sure in our lifetimes, we have driven slightly beyond the 16 moving and residential zone. That happens. It's not necessarily that when such happens, it means these people that have done that well. Then I'm going to the point you were saying, which I was and I think what will help, of course, is that in reality, there will be instances where you have got to make sure that. The system has a slight degree of agility without breaking them. But they have to be agility so that we're able to get to a point where we're able to get this for a few problems. I will stop.
No, thank you, sir. Just to end with just emphasize the point. Forensic investigation to make forensic specialists give us a chance to do the work of forensic investigation. With the understanding that one is going to have to wait to be able to update the police from time to time when we are ready. Because forensic might seem to have a reason for and you might end up compromising the process. And then end up not achieving the intention that we have achieved. So we want to make a special on that, especially on the point. But really, all this outcome in relation to what preventive measures that we are putting in place, we have agreed to have some of the plan, action plan, and later on a quarterly basis when we provide support, we need them to continue to update the committee on how we are to ensure that it's not a case of the thing that the AG has been observing for some time now. The issue of expenditure versus the delivery is well, it's a matter that you'll hardly find, you'll not find anywhere in the department, whether local, provincial, national, where there is 100% match between the expenditure and the delivery. I've not seen. There are many reasons for that. One reason might be the problem as you adopt the EPPs. But the other reason might be by the time you plan this body of water or Scottsdale and by the time you go to implementation, it's now 15. So it's obvious that you will spend more than the delivery because the cost is huge. So there are some of the variables that make that difference. But I agree that we must make sure that whatsoever that is delivered, is the outcome which has got impact into the life of our. And therefore, the monitoring system and evaluation system should be put in such a way that it's able to produce the intended outcome that makes the impact that we all desire and want to see at the end of the day. So those are some of the things. We'll be able to provide some of the good stories as the chair of the meeting.
on some of the capacity building programs, what some of the students become, some become entrepreneurs, some get full-time employment, number one indicating some are now in executive management positions, but not all of them get absorbed by the systems in the private sector. The fact of the matter is that they are now have the skill. Whatsoever opportunity that arises, we provide them that opportunity to be able to compete and be employed in the social market. Because we can't be able to employ them ourselves, but to give them an answer, give them necessary skill, capacity so that they are able to either find their own businesses or to be employed within the market. So the only weakness might be to see how to monitor after they undergone all this stuff, as to where do they go, what impact does it make at the end of the day to realize that the community is good. So it's something maybe that we can look into and say how best we can do it. The last thing, the issue of involving municipalities in the advent and what it's a matter that we need to consider, but some of the advent are done based in municipalities. But it's a matter that we need to emphasize so that municipalities also become active. Because also what we have realized that municipalities have been prioritized by if you go into the LDs, you will find a sentence around tourism which doesn't say anything. So it's a matter that we need to look at how do we make sure that we begin to ensure that the government is prioritize a tourism. It must filter down to all the years so that it will take it as a priority all of us and be able to take it. But I think through this service, it will be in a position to assist the greater because it will push everybody to not to work in silos, to work as well as one team, and therefore we'll be able all of us to work together in all the spheres of government and make sure that we get our priorities right.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you very much, Professor, for the time you've taken long. But all the issues I think the centers, you know, all the different centers raised on our data, and you can only try to pick up the only economic issues in Pakistan, which has responded, but the Pakistan can get. That's one thing on the avocado around is just yet the idea installation of five, we'll see the report on Monday, on Wednesday, and then to the old general, we will implement the teaching that after we decided to take the action. So Friday I signed off the investigation. So that's how conflict in everything. Then there's an issue quickly chair okay, the project and everything will packaging them when it was done, including the issues around take counsel on the number of issues. That is the main thing to advise to us as the department to be able to get right, make sure that the FTM is responded to. The issue around the interpersonal, the issue around the officials, we have taken action already, this is linked, but we continue the investigation purely as participants. We were not able to people that, and we appreciate from the outside about that the teacher wants both the teaching and team to go and look at the things. In fact, we want just more and check. We really come with a conversation, not only what we are. What we have found, but what we are doing, but quantifying. Indeed, the only person that took all the issues in this is the clear answer. They took me through, including the issue around student management and self-discipline training. So, the creative student that we continue to contribute to the teaching. The army here on the interview, so we can come to know how to provide it. That's one last thing, Chair, not wasting time. The issue around internal audit centers, the internal audit is functioning very well. There are some of the people who have been helping me as a minister. I met with them as well to take me through, especially the officials, and then we were able to produce the on issues. This is what we have to do, how they thought, where the issues. So they are very helpful, and I think they've been assisting education so we continue to do that specifically. We asked for the development of the university, but I think the chair is to go out more to make sure that we are able to go into our issues. So I think that's the issue from our side, Chair, so that I don't have time. Thank you very much for this question.
All right. There will be a summary of way forward from the team. But just before we say to Minister, I just want to, before you leave, to give some kind of a way forward for the team. One is on consequence management. We agree to that. On an ongoing basis, you'll be updating us. Two, it's on the DG said, and I think we must agree to that, during the briefing session, they will include, as the CFO has also alluded, some delegation kind of a framework, which is part of the briefing session to the contractor, so that they can not say, what, but also it must be included in the SLA. So that's two. Three, I'm sure this one was going to be debate on it. It's on admission process, which must include admission of students, which must include not only for women, right? It's counseling for everybody. As part of briefing them about the course and every generally to all of them, not targeting women. And four is the strengthening of any warning systems within the department. Five is a report on all these infrastructure projects. Because, Minister, it looks like the effort to improve the audit will be for the next 2 years or so be affected by this inherited infrastructure project. So something will have to be done about that. I'm sure you can apply your mind and we can also see from the committee side what we can do. But that report on all of them, this infrastructure project. Six is an ongoing report on this financial mismanagement related matter, where the DG said we must give them some time. I'm sure the committee can agree that the end of February is not that far, 2020. You were saying 90 days, but I think you were saying 120, taking into account the holidays. Seven is gradually insourcing. It means the department must just do categorization of what can be insourced in the bigger scheme of things that we do in the department. And say, this ones we think we can solve, this ones are unavoidable. As we are saying in teaching, you can't have quantities of there as permanent employees in the department. Yeah. So, and maybe put a period like by 2021, you will have finally finalized insourcing implementation in the department. Eight. Is a reduction of, it's up to the department to indicate, reduction of fruitless wasteful irregular expenditure to less than 2%. I'm saying less than 2% because currently it's 94%, right? 94% from an audit perspective, things are going well. 6 or 7% or so is not going well. So maybe the target should be, if we reduce it, it should be around 2-3%, bearing in mind the inherited problem, because you can't deal with them overnight. It's going to take some time. But we'll hear what the committee says about that in the department. 9, forensic investigation, we agree. And when it is completed, you will then bring up as a committee, when it's completed. 10, a impact analysis report on entrepreneurship and job creation. particularly as it relates to NDP on poverty, equality, and unemployment. But that we don't want immediately by the end of the financial year, if we can get that report. And the 11 is on strengthening communication, particularly on achievement and acknowledging our weaknesses. Then 12 is strengthening risk mitigation mechanisms within the department. There might be other areas where we've not covered everything in the way forward, but broadly speaking, I think this is what we are agreeing to. In terms of communication, Minister, now as a committee from tomorrow, so what we'll communicate by and large, we'll say something like what you were saying, what we have achieved in terms of audit outcomes, what we think are the challenges, and the assurance we got from you as a department that you are going to do the following thing to cure some of the defects that are there, and that on a regular basis you will be briefing us, and as a committee will be also be communicating with the public around reports we are getting from you. So by and large, broadly, that's what we will communicate going outside, because I've seen the interest of the media from the morning on not only this department, but a lot of departments and so on, because we are at a time where particular characters must be developed and so on. I can't take it now, but that is the time to plan particular narratives going forward. Now, we thank you. We want to thank you. Always brings the department those issues that are in their blind spots. Also issues that are in our blind spots, bring them to us. We'll also do the same to bring them to your attention and to the department's attention, so that it's a tripartite approach, yourself, department, and ourselves on this audit-related issues. I think if we do that, we will go far. But also it's important, Honourable Master, to explain to the public that from an auditing perspective, and this is not set by the department, it's the AG, that in terms of auditing, physical verification of immovables became a new variable for the last 18 months or so. Yes, on the financial statement. Yeah, reporting of immovables on the financial statement. All along it hasn't been like that. But because it is introduced for the first time, you have to compare apples with apples. Mm-hmm. Right, so if we compare the last 10 years with the current, they will not be exactly the same. So we acknowledge that, Minister, from an auditing perspective, the AG has brought that to the attention of the department, and you are accordingly responsive. So we will also indicate our dissatisfaction around irregular compliance expenditure that we should have been contained through the internal mechanisms across the department. But that by and large we are happy with the performance of the department. And we don't want the department to be management. No, it's about overconfidence, but there's a word for it. Complacent. That's the word I was looking for. Complacent. Because if you overperform, complacency gradually creeps in, then we lower the guard, because those are the consequences that can achieve to suffer. If you perform so well and all this, that's the support of energy. So complacency creeps in, they didn't pay attention to other important things and so on. And it's only now that they are beginning to pay attention to it. So it's a bit difficult. right? We hope it doesn't happen. It might look sometimes. So always be on guard. No, parents is fine. There's no problem. Parents is okay. Yeah.